This morning I'm preaching from Philemon, and I'm preaching in our unique culture, the culture of Christ. You are part of it. I'm part of it. God designed us, me, you, to play a part in it. And there's two noticeable things about our Christ culture, faith and love. And like the redness of a rose blossom that's accentuated by the green of the leaves that are around it, our faith and love stick out in our culture of Christ. And Philemon 1:4-7 identifies this. I'm going to read it now. I'm going to start at verse 4. Paul says, "I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, those that are set apart in Christ. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the set apart ones, the saints, have been refreshed through you, brother. Prepare your heart for this sermon, your love and faith in our culture of Christ." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you guide me to preach, that you build all of us up, and everyone here, as we learn this, we will take what we learn, go out, and we will use it. We will use it even now. That we would get these truths from your word, and they would become part of us for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in this context, Paul was diplomatically reconciling the Christian slave owner, Philemon, with Onesimus, his runaway slave. And Paul appealed to Philemon to receive Onesimus back through the way of our Christ culture. That's the way. And it's grace and it's forgiveness according to the love of God. This is what matters most. So Paul reminded Philemon that Paul is a prisoner for Christ Jesus. And the sense is this: our Lord is why I'm a prisoner. So keep that in mind as you read my words. And Paul's chains demonstrated this life attitude of focusing on the bigger picture. His whole life demonstrated the ways of the culture of Christ. Self-sacrifice and persecution come with the territory of the culture. There's a hostile tension between the cultures. And the contrast is not always comfortable. There are differences in how to approach things, differences in the cultures. Understanding ultimate importance is on our side. And Paul mentioned loving and faithful Timothy. He referred to Philemon as our beloved fellow worker. Philemon was being reminded that we all exist in a different culture regardless of the life dramas we're experiencing in the world. And obviously, he was experiencing them. We all do. And the important lesson is this: we Christians, all of us, are all in this together. And so you look at this togetherness. Paul addressed a woman named Apphia. He says she's our sister in Christ. A man named Archippus, he's our fellow soldier in the spiritual battle that we're all in. You get saved, you're in a spiritual battle. And also the church that's in Philemon's house. So we're all interconnected. And Paul is basically making this known here. And no matter how small or insignificant someone might seem to be, now we got to be thinking about our own minds on this. We are all as important in the culture as the importance of our change. Our own change, that other person's change. So in respect to your change and being in the culture of Christ, be thanking God for both the love and the faith that you have. Be thanking him for everyone that he set apart in Christ called saints, which is all Christians. You got to be thanking God for all Christians. You should be thanking God for both the love and the faith that any Christian has. Paul said he thanked God for Philemon's love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward Jesus' people. Now, he did not thank Philemon for his love and faith. Philemon was being reminded of the realities of the culture. And I want to ask everyone this morning, listen, do you have faithfulness and do you have love toward Christ and toward his people? Well, then thank God for this. Thank God that you have this. You must embrace your humble reliance on God in the things of Christianity that the Bible describes as gifts. And Paul looked to the gift giver here in a certain personal way. He said, "I thank my God for the faith and the love you have, Philemon." Now, why my God? There's only one true God. But Paul said, "I thank my God." What Paul's doing is he's magnifying his own reliance on God. It's a personal statement, like saying, I thank my Father. And what it shows is dependency on God's work in Paul's life as someone who was in opposition to God at one time, but he no longer is. You know, Acts 9, 4 through 6 shows that God sovereignly intervened. And God miraculously changed Paul while Paul was in the very act of rejecting and persecuting Christ Jesus. In the very act. But unsaved Paul at that time claimed he was serving God while he was fighting God. He was deceived. And so before being cosmically slapped down and rescued, God was not this special relationship with Paul, called Saul at the time. You know, the relationship of Paul's God of our Christ culture was not that. But now Paul is no longer in opposition to God and no longer thinking he was battling a false God among the Christ culture he was actually persecuting. So Paul thanked his God he now knows personally. And in the same way, Paul thanked his God for the faith and the love the real God filled Philemon with. Remember the gifts. We've got to thank God for them. So easy to start thinking it's about us. Paul was always consistent with properly directing the thanks for all these types of things. And you must recognize that your faithfulness to Christ Jesus and your love for him are both in a gift package from God. Galatians 5:22 says, your love and faithfulness are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And even the Holy Spirit is a gift. You know, the same Spirit that gives you gifts was given to you in your salvation. So being saved, being in the culture of Christ, you can say like Paul, my God, thanking him that you have been enabled and enlightened to have this particular relationship. And recognize that love, God's love, Christian love, accompanies the Holy Spirit that he put in you. And notice that Paul quickly reminded Philemon that the Spirit and God's love motivated Paul to pray. Well, that's another Christ culture fact. The supernatural work of God keeps emerging in this. And so it's not Paul's humanly generated love, it's God's love. And what Paul was saying applies to you. Pray according to God's love. Recognize the motivation and embrace it for what it is. So you don't feel like praying. Okay, but do it anyway. You see, it's more than obedience. It's praying, but you're doing it by God's love. And that's the faith issue. That's the faith issue. Paul said in Romans 15:30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. What an amazing verse. And so to strive in prayer, but seeking, recognizing it is by the love from the Spirit is what we're supposed to do. What you're doing is you're applying his love to your actions. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says straight out, the love of Christ controls us. Galatians 5:22 tells you the fruit from the Holy Spirit is love. Colossians 1:8 has Paul saying that he was informed of the Colossian Christians' love in the Spirit. The most comprehensive passage on this is probably 1 John 4:8 through 12, which says this, let us show love for one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we love one another, and he's talking about Christians, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. Well, this understanding is so important because it gets you relying on the Spirit-filled life. Get you seeing something that has to do with God's sovereignty and your responsibility, because we are responsible. Whenever you think about this love that you have, think of it like the apostles knew it to be, that God put it in you when God put his Spirit in you. And like with all these things with the culture of Christ, you absolutely are responsible for using it. You are responsible to be that loving Christian. And as you do, you're simply manifesting your fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's that other thing, faith. Faithfulness to Christ, which is active faith in Christ, and active faithfulness to others in the body of Christ, other Christians, it's the exact same way. It's from God. In Acts 16:14, while evangelizing a woman, it says, "The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." God is actively opening hearts to the faithfulness of heeding his truth. Acts 18:27, it speaks of those who had believed through grace. Well, they believed through God's act of grace to get them there. And then in Philippians 1:29, when Paul told them, "It has been granted to you for Christ's sake to believe in him." This grant from God to believe is what you have. It's that same believing through grace. And Romans 12:3 says, God has allotted to each Christian a measure of faith. Well, God allotted you the right measure you need. Hebrews 12:2 brings Jesus into this, showing the Trinity. It says Jesus is the author and the perfecter of your faith. It's the exact same way with love. And so what we're learning about is life in the culture of Christ. And Paul is straightforward about both the love and the faithfulness being from God. And we are responsible. We have a responsibility with it. And for you, like with Philemon, this responsibility is important. You must manifest love and faith toward others. This is your calling. Calling of every Christian. And so Philemon was already known for both. Paul used the continuous verb tense when he said that Philemon had the faith and the love. Philemon showed love and faithfulness and ongoing consistency. Are you showing love and faithfulness and ongoing consistency? Tune into this question. I know I can just layer so many facts in these sermons that sometimes we're just like swimming in our minds. Don't be swimming. Just float. Just listen. Are you showing love and faithfulness and ongoing consistency? Are you known for your faith? Ask yourself. See, Philemon's faith was famous. And if you're not famous for being loving and faithful, you need to be. Those are the things that matter. Amen. And Paul had been hearing what others had been saying about Philemon, probably heard some things from Onesimus. And according to 17 through 19, Paul had known Philemon in his early days of ministry. But Paul was always on the move. All over the place. Over the years, Philemon's fame as being faithful and being a consistent doer of the love of God, it had spread. And verse 7 shows Philemon was a refresher of the hearts of Christians. Verse 2, he's known for using his house for church meetings. Those things go all over the place whenever your fame is there. And then they go around and they got back to Paul in prison. And they were key for Paul's assurance in sending Onesimus back to face such a man. God wants the Christians who know you to have full confidence in you. All the Christians that you know that know you. How are they going to have confidence in you? How are they going to? Well, they must know you as the kind of Christian who manifests faithfulness and love. You know, strong faith and strong love, that needs to be your fame. It should be the fame of all of us. Everyone feels right in the culture when the culture is recognized. So that's the way they're going to be with you. So pursuing this love, think of it as yourself readily helping people. Is that you? It means that you're fighting for the other members of the body of Christ. Is that you? It means you're staying with the other members of the body in loyalty. The loyalty of the Spirit, the bond of unity. Is that you? If it's not you, it needs to be. And it means that you're forgiving. And then what? You're forgiving. And then what? You're forgiving again and again. It means that you're caring for other people's profit at the sake of your own gains. You know, this love has a certain level of self-sacrifice to it. It's work. And God's word calls it love that builds up. Well, that's the work. See? That's your love work. Build. You're a builder. You build people up. And to build up, you have to work in the construction project. Galatians 5:13 tells you, through love, serve one another. It's just the job description, guys. And as you become known for it, it's not your own fame coming out. It's the fame of Christ Jesus in you. It's the fame of his life and his word. You're living it. You're being one of his children. It's all about the body of Christ. Some of the biggest manifestations of this are kindness and goodness. When Paul identified the fruit of the Spirit as love and faithfulness, he also said it's kindness and it's goodness. Well, Galatians 5, 22 actually gives all four. It says the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, there's not a whole lot to do, but you need to do it. This is how you need to be famous. And Paul's ongoing desire was that Philemon's faithfulness would also become effectively active toward Onesimus through the knowledge of every good thing in him, which is, by the way, every good thing in all Christians, and to do it for Christ Jesus' sake. Well, this is our template. Become effectively faithful with others in practical Christianity through the knowledge of every good thing that is in you as a Christian and that goodness that's in all other Christians, and do it for Christ Jesus' sake. Paul wants Philemon to treat Onesimus like he treats all Christians. So check yourself on this. Principle here: is your love and faithfulness consistent with all Christians? Is there someone that it's not? I mean, even right now, you know if there are people you are not showing the love and faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. You know if your faithfulness is not being effective through the knowledge of every good thing put in Christians. You know where you are falling short of the most important things: love, faithfulness, kindness, and goodness. And those things are supposed to be in you. Philemon had a stressed relationship with Onesimus, but that stress had to be ignored. It had to be plowed through. And this is the way God designed the Christ culture to be lived. The punctuating statement for you from Paul is so, so key. Paul said it's all for Christ Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake. And that's how you should be dealing with every single issue. So think of it this way. Act according to the knowledge of every good thing that God has put in yourself, specifically the Holy Spirit and the accompanying love and the faithfulness. Do that. Because just knowing Bible truth is not enough. Simply realizing that there's a culture of Christ, that's only a starting point. So it's applying the knowledge that you get. Like I'm preaching this morning, we need to apply what we're getting. And as Paul said, for Christ Jesus' sake, knowing that every good thing that he has put in you, recognizing they are the same good things in that irritating Christian that you just can't stand. See? Now, it's tempting to follow the ways of the unsaved world culture in dealing with God's temples of the Holy Spirit. And one of those ways is to operate out of feelings and opinions. You know, the unsaved culture already treats everyone according to not being saved. But it also operates out of feelings and opinions. And since you no longer know any Christian according to the flesh, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, you no longer know any Christian according to the flesh, then treat them as if you no longer know them according to the flesh. We really have to get this vision. Seriously. Treat them like you are really knowing them according to the Holy Spirit. Don't let anger dictate how you know them. Don't let offenses. Philemon had a legal right to handle Onesimus according to the world's laws. He could have handled it the way the world does. Revenge. He's a runaway slave. Lack of mercy. Lack of love, legalism, however he wanted. He did have the law behind him. And he also had the sympathy of the people in his area. You hear what I'm saying? Be careful. You can get that. And you can fall into the trap of thinking that you're justified to go those routes. It can happen when your feelings get hurt. I mean, have your feelings ever gotten hurt? You know they have. It's easy if pride creeps in. Especially when you've been wronged and you think that you got some kind of right to get revenge on someone. And you can always find others who agree with your revenge. You can always go around and find somebody. Yeah, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. Don't let them do that to you. How dare they? You need to get them. Well, that's going to be the voice you're going to listen to? No, listen to the Holy Spirit. What God wants you to do is acknowledge the good that's in all Christians, which is the same Holy Spirit you should be listening to that's inside them. See? God wants all of us to become effective in sharing our faithfulness with one another in practical Christianity through the knowledge of him and his fruits, not the fruits of the unsaved world culture. It's all about me, myself, and I. I'm going to act this way for my sake. But for the Lord's sake, you have his gifts to react by looking at others as being better than yourself. You know that? You can do that. Because the scripture tells you to. So react by looking at others as being better than yourself. You have the gift in you of faithfulness to the family of God. Well, so demonstrate it in commitment. You have the gift to be a builder. So seek to build up others for Christ's sake. And if they fail, encourage them with God's word to get back up and keep on going. Help them pick up the pieces. Encourage them to go forward for Him. God has not called you to be a wrecking ball. He has not called you to be an island, a loner, a maverick for Messiah, a lone ranger for the Lord. No, it's not God's design for the culture. So quit keeping the Christians around you in the shallow acquaintance category. Get them into the "you are my friend" category. Get them into the "I'm going to help you" category. You have been designed to look past the failures of others in the same way that Christ Jesus does with you. That is always the big check. So how does Christ Jesus look at you? That's how you look at others. Yes, when the brother says this morning, "I'm not worthy." None of us are. You were designed to look past the irritations to the friend bond way of the culture of Christ. It's the culture. So everyone should be getting this from you. But don't lose sight of the fact that it's for Him. And this is what's going to keep you consistent no matter what happens. No matter what happens. That's what Paul said in 1:6. Christ primarily saved you to bless Himself with you as the object of His love and faithfulness in His grace, making what is unworthy get the worth that He puts on it. That's the worthiness. And He's populating His culture with other people just like you. And each day your realization is that you're here to be in on His action. And when it came to Philemon, his love and faithfulness made him look really good. But that only means that Philemon got blessed because he was manifesting his salvation. Any benefit that you get for your Christ-likeness is only secondary. Your love and faithfulness are to make the Lord look good. You're expressing what He has done for you and is doing in you, where everything is a blessing all the time. It's just that we got to recognize it. We got to live it. We got to worship and praise Him for it continuously. This is a change of mind. This is taking every thought captive. And so life in the culture of Christ is like this big concert. You glorify Christ, for example, as you refresh the hearts of His people. See, it's all working together. And Paul said he derived much joy and comfort in Philemon's love because the hearts of other Christians had been refreshed through Philemon. Another question: are you known as a refresher? Refresh means that you have an encouraging, therapeutic effect on the Lord's people, on your brothers and sisters. You know, the Roman military used that term. After they'd marched for miles and miles, they'd stop to refresh. People need refreshing. And God gave you the gifts to be part of bringing it. Just look for needs. That's a step. Paul said Philemon was a comfort. Well, that's refreshing. And if you ignore people, you're not comforting them. If you gossip about them, yeah, you're paying attention to them, but you're not comforting them. Keep the glory of the Lord in your thinking on this. When someone is refreshed by you and they're comforted by you, what they're doing is they're experiencing the Spirit at work in you for them. It all makes sense. And you know what it's like to have someone be a pain to you, right? You don't like bad attitudes. You don't like unforgiveness and lack of care. You don't like prideful people. Maybe you've encountered people who think that they're more spiritual than you. You know, I've met dozens of Christians like that. I knew a man, a Christian, who enjoyed criticizing other Christians. He was constantly down-talking decent Christians. And he would slander them because he said that when he was with them, this is what he told me, he did not feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just happened to know the people who he was talking about. But I had no idea what he was talking about in his weird attempts to hyper-spiritualize his judgmentalism. I mean, he would say weird things like, "Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is just not there." What? The Holy Spirit was always there. And every single one of those Christians, the Holy Spirit is in church fellowships and the people doing the fellowshipping. You know, the difference in my own perspective is that I recognize the good within those people, as Paul says. And I also understood the realities of the Holy Spirit from a truly biblical understanding. That guy was marked by the skewing judgmentalism of his prideful opinions. There can be spiritual pride, and it's sin. It's sin. It's just called spiritual pride, but it's not spiritual. And he was marked by this, his own feelings-oriented judgmentalism. You know, discernment is not what he had. That's not discernment. Paul never said, Philemon, when Onesimus gets to you, I want you to stand next to him and see if you think that you can feel the Holy Spirit's presence. By the way, Philemon, I'm asking Onesimus to do the same with you too. Hopefully you both will have the same feeling so that you'll know for sure whether you're truly recognizing the good of God that is in with you both. No. Instead, Paul prayed that the sharing of your faithfulness would become effective through the knowledge which is according to real facts concerning real spirituality of every real good thing which is really in you and every one of us who, for Christ Jesus' sake. Now, of course, Onesimus was full of bad things. I mean, if you wanted to identify them, it'd be easy to do. You're full of bad things. I am too. But Onesimus was not absent of the Holy Spirit, and neither are we. I mean, I've seen it over and over again. People who think that they're spiritual pillars of judgment with their claims of deeper life experiences and higher height attainments of revelation, they just tear down other wonderful Christians through wrong judgmental pride and narrow agendas, and they just call it discernment. As if I can label what I just did as something that God puts his stamp of approval on. No. No. He does not approve of you. Don't be smug in your spirituality. Be a humble, grace-filled peacemaker, working the love. Keep acknowledging every good thing in yourself, but also in each member of the body of Christ. Shine as a refresher who heals in real faithfulness to your Lord and his people. Don't be a fault finder. Don't be that dude or that girl looking for flaws in other Christians like it's your calling. Come on. Too many peace breakers replacing the peacemakers. Too many wrecking instead of refreshing. Too many who claim to be godly who will turn away from brothers and sisters in Christ in the blink of an eye. The real Spirit really wants real love and real faithfulness in the culture of Christ. Like Philemon being challenged to apply it to his runaway slave as a brother in Christ, you must choose to apply it as your obedience to the actual Spirit of God. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Can you think of someone that you're being tested with on this? Well, love is a decision before you, and you must choose it. And it's humble love. It's non-judgmental forgiveness love. It's self-sacrificial love, right? Which looks at the person as being better than yourself. Remember Philippians? Philemon had to do this through his hurt feelings. You know, I don't know what it's like to be a slave owner. I don't know if he lost money. I don't know what all he went through. But in the culture of Christ, this is what everyone should expect from you. So what do? Seek to be an example of love and faith toward all Christians. And that means your husband and your wife also, okay? Make the fellowship of your faith become effective through the knowledge of every good thing in you and other Christians for the Lord's sake, his sake. Be the bringer of joy and comfort with your love. Be the refresher of hearts, amen? Let's do it.